So who's your favorite James Bond actor, Frank?
Sean Connery.
You don't like Daniel Craig?
No, I like quite a few, but it's still going to be Sean Connery.
Sean's probably the best. Even though I'm really starting to like Daniel Craig a lot, the more he doesn't.
Well, Sean Connery, you know, he's so smooth. You know, he's smoother than Bill Clinton. He could be anywhere, a bar, a tavern, or a petting zoo, you know? He could be like,
it's a nice goat.
Or on Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Whenever... La tits now?
La tits now?
La tits now.
Is that... Or what it... Oh, what else did... He's like, I'll take famous titties for 500. Titles! And then his answer is, Dolly Parton!
Well, this is our fall preview on the Rebel Radio podcast. We're going to talk a little bit James Bond here on our brand new episode.
Yes.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio podcast, and this is Jay Muse, snooch to the nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
Hey, it's Alfonso Berry. Listen to the Rebel Radio podcast.
This is the Rebel Radio podcast.
Welcome to a new episode of...
What are you doing, Matt?
I'm sorry.
Matt, that's my line. I start the show off.
I clearly had the floor.
Yeah. Well, not this time.
Okay? Darn it.
This is Mark, your host, the Rebel Radio Podcast. And as we got the show started off the wrong foot here, we have Matt the Electric Monkey with us. You can speak now.
Oh, but I already introduced thanks. You. Thanks.
Yeah, I took your introduction. And hanging out with us is...
Frank T. Biscuit. And if anybody has a floor, I have the dance floor.
Oh, Lord. The world's not ready for that. So this is a new episode of Rebel Radio, the official podcast of TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Go there, check it out. We give you the latest and greatest, we hope, in news and the movies and comics world. And we've been doing some new stuff on that. We've got a feature on there called We Got You Covered, where we share our favorite comic book covers every week. And this month it's Halloween Horror Comics, so check that out. And we just started a new thing on there called Time Capsule Thursdays. Semi-weekly type thing where we go back in time and talk about a cool toy or a movie trailer, or this week it was Universal Monsters movie posters. So some stuff, fun stuff on that going on, TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Before we get into today's Rebel Radio, Matt, congratulations, you have a new baby boy.
Yes, sir.
And you named him Luke.
That's right.
Did that have anything to do with Star Wars?
It did.
We knew it had to do with Star Wars.
It's my favorite name out of Star Wars. Like, if you're going to name your son after anyone, I feel like it's Luke.
Well, yeah, and Han.
It's not Dooku?
Han works in Star Wars, but you wouldn't really want to name someone Han. It's kind of Asian people. You know, they would be Han.
Yeah, Han. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but he should have named his son Dooku, and then, like, he'd be like, is there a Dooku here? Mr. Dooku.
So is he going to bring balance to the Force?
He will bring balance to the Force. He has already brought balance to his diaper.
I bet. He gets that runny, tarry poo-poo they make?
Yes. Yeah. It's very, very thick.
Does he use the Force?
I can hear it sometimes, and sometimes smell it. But yes,
is it strong with him?
He is using the Force. Probably too strong. So, you know, funny story about that is my wife took him in for a checkup. You know, finally got him in. And so... she calls, she's like, yeah, everything's normal. I said, well, how high is his midichlorian count? And she didn't get it. She's like, huh? I said, you know, does he have a large amount of midichlorians? You know, was there a prophecy that was spoken of? She's like, be quiet, you know? I'm like, yes.
That would have been funny, though. If, like, no, I'm serious. If she would have went back to the doctor and asked.
Have a high amount of midichlorian. Oh, like, Dr. Chen. Oh, no, Jedi, no. Maybe Bounty Hunter.
Well, that's totally cool. So you have another baby boy now. And so, again, congrats on that, you know, and... one day, maybe our kids will do a podcast or something. Who knows? We'll be like old men then. And Frank, you've been hanging out in Houston. You did some stuff this weekend. Went to the Ren Fest. And how was that?
Oh, it was fun. Weather was nice. Not too hot, even though I was sweating like a beast. Luckily, I was wearing my kilt, so I got a little updraft, you know, kind of went full kilt, you know, did my steampunk thing.
And people that have met us from the Rebel Radio podcast just got really frightened because they know what Frank looks like.
Hey, but, you know, I wasn't the only one there. You know, I loved it because there's, like, people of, like, all different types of, I don't know, like pirates, barbarians, mm-hmm. fairies, and I'm not talking about...
Then there was Biscuit.
Like actual fairies with the wings. And
ninjas. Do you see ninjas?
Yes. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's awesome.
Saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Did they wear the samurai?
Technically, yes. Technically, I saw ninjas there. It was like people, you know, of all you know, walks of life there. So it's just, it's really fun, you know.
Did you get any good food? Turkey leg?
Sausage? No, I did not turkey leg it because by the time I got to it, the... turkey legs were gone at the line I was in, and I was waiting for a long time, and I was like, you know, I forget this. I'll just get something else, and I got, like, you know, fish and chips.
There we go.
Well, I haven't done as much exciting lately. You know, our Astros are in the playoffs here in Houston, and that's pretty exciting. And I watched a couple movies. I saw Inside Out, finally. Very good Pixar Disney film. Might be one of the better things they've done. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting film because kids probably don't quite understand the emotional spectrum of it. Because it's kind of a deeper movie for Pixar, but it still had its cuteness about it and its entertainment value. That was kind of a fun film to watch. Other than that, I haven't had anything exciting going on. Y'all have been more exciting in the last few days.
I just watched Pixels. And I know Pixels, everyone was low on Pixels. And I was like, you know, the trailer, it made it look like it was kind of fun. You know, they're chasing Pac-Man around in the cars. And I almost felt like I was watching a Fast and the Furious.
Okay, that's enough Adam Sandler talk on the show.
You don't like my movie?
Well, so, our last episode, we had interviews with Ming Chen and Alfonso Ribeiro, and it's hard to top that whenever you have celebrities on the show.
It's true.
We're going to do our best today. And the show, we appreciate those who listened to that last episode. We had a lot of fun doing it, a lot of fun at Compalooza Fanfare. Well, Frank and I did, because Matt was getting ready for Baby Luke that weekend, so he wasn't able to make it. And so we had a lot of fun. We appreciate y'all supporting that show. So today's show, we're full-fledged into fall now. It's October. And television shows are kicking back up. So we're going to do a little fall preview for you today. Even though some shows are in full swing, it's Sunday afternoon. It's the day that The Walking Dead premieres tonight. Our next episode is going to be a full Walking Dead Halloween episode. So we're not going to talk a lot of Walking Dead today in our fall preview, but we are going to talk a lot of other stuff. And I think the biggest show so far, we're going to do television first. I think the biggest show so far is the second season of Gotham. And it started out with a bang. And the first season I felt was kind of a little slow at times. I was picking it apart continuity-wise because I'm a big Batman fan and I had a lot of issues with it. But they have gone full force in this second season so far. Mm-hmm. And the villains are rising. They played that this guy, Jerome, was going to be the Joker. And there's a little spoiler here. He's not the Joker, people. He got a knife in the neck this last episode. But it looks like they're borrowing from a lot of different Batman mythos in this show. And with one of the things that Christopher Nolan did in his Dark Knight trilogy was that Batman could be an inspiration to people and he could be a symbol. And they're doing that, flipping it with a Joker. It looks like this Jerome guy may be an inspiration to people and eventually someone's going to become the Joker in the show. And that's been a really surprise. If people that have gave up on Gotham early, I would say get back into the show. The second season has started out with a bang. And I have not gotten caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet, but I've heard it start out with a bang. I know you watch it.
Nah, I haven't.
Are you still behind on it?
Oh, okay,
you're
trying to get
caught up. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I know it started out really well. And there's been some talk that Marvel may do away with the Inhumans film because they're doing the Inhumans in S.H.I.E.L.D. And they may just play it off of that, but that Marvel hasn't confirmed that yet. And and another show that's a big favorite of ours that premiered this week is The Flash. And I thought it started off pretty strong. There was a surprise death in it from another spoiler here. Unfortunately, in our fall preview, I guess the spoilers, you know, if you haven't watched it, we're sorry. But they killed off Firestorm.
Yeah.
And that was a little surprising.
Well, technically, that's what they make it seem like, but, you know, it's comic books, so does anybody ever really die?
Well, true, and especially the path they're going with The Flash. They're going to start introducing multiple universes, it looks like. And there was a big surprise at the end of the episode when Flash from the other world, Jay Garrick, arrives and says, "Your world is in danger. You're going to need my help." And it was a really cool moment. It's like, and it was to be continued, and the CW does such a great job at drama. And it's like, oh, I got to wait till next week to find out what happens, you know?
Yeah, also, the new season of The Arrow premiered.
Yeah.
And it takes the ending... jumps to an event that happens 6 months in advance. So literally, we'll have to watch the whole season to find out exactly what the ending of, I guess, the Arrow means.
See, I'm still behind on Arrow. I'm currently watching season 2 on Netflix and trying to get caught up. And yeah. I'm going through it pretty quick. I've only got a few episodes of season 2, then I got to go through 3 left. And I really enjoy Arrow. And, you know, I know I've talked to people at work and stuff that are like, play off the CW shows. It's like, oh, they're on the CW. I don't want to watch them.
No, they're really good.
They're really well done. They are a little overdramatic at times. They love their cliffhangers and stuff. But isn't that what they should be like? They should be like a comic book. They should be a lot of fun with cliffhangers, over drama, and well done. And then Arrow's got a lot of girls kissing in it now and then.
You know. But you know what's great? You know, the thing about Arrow this season is, spoiler alert, he actually takes on the name Green Arrow.
Yeah, which people have been waiting for him to do for a long time.
He actually adopts it. But getting back to the end, you know, there's a scene at the end, and Flash shows up, and he's like, well, I guess he's not the Flash because he wasn't in the costume, but he shows up, and he apologizes for not being there at that time, and they bring up him having to deal with Zoom.
Oh,
yeah. You know, well, that's why he couldn't be there to... Yeah.
And in the season premiere of Flash, the word Zoom is mentioned.
Right.
And
so they bring it up twice.
Barry Allen is kind of like, who? Because he doesn't know who Zoom is. Remember, they called in the first season Reverse Flash. So we still don't know who Zoom is. So the Flash has been very good so far. And Matt, you're over here just not saying nothing because you're behind because you...
Well, I know
just,
the characters.
You know, you can't watch stuff because your wife makes you watch Pretty Little Liars. You know?
That and Vampire Diaries, which is also on the CW.
Another comic book show that's fixing to hit. It comes on in a couple weeks. Is Supergirl, and I haven't been real hyped on this, you know. But the current trailers though don't look terrible. I will probably give a few episodes a watch and see how it goes. And there's been a lot of talk about them going to tie this in with the CW shows somehow, because I noticed the Supergirl trailer aired during the Flash the other night.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And it doesn't look, like I said, it doesn't look awful. It'll be interesting to see how it plays with, you know, a female lead and doing a female superhero show. And we'll see. I'm willing to give it a chance, you know.
Yeah. One other comic book show started back up also was iZombie. Last season, the first season, was actually really good.
I haven't watched it on Netflix.
I haven't watched the ones that have premiered, but I'm looking to catch up on that with a few other things. Because I really enjoyed it, so I definitely made sure that was still set to record.
And a big favorite of ours, obviously, since we're very Star Wars heavy on this show at times, since we are, trust me, I'm a Jedi.com, is Star Wars Rebels. And it is fall television. It premieres this Wednesday on the 14th. That might be the day we release the show. I don't know. But they just released a new trailer for it at New York Comic Con. And the first season we talked about a lot of the show we really loved. And the second season is fixing to start. And one thing about Star Wars Rebels is it's very well written. It's not just for children. And if you haven't watched it yet, give it a shot. Watch it on. It's just came out on Blu-ray and DVD, so you can pick it up. You can probably pick it up digitally on iTunes or any of these other places. And its second season that begins, like I said, on October 14th. And they had the second season premiere this past summer, which we talked about in a previous episode, where Darth Vader appeared and he attacks Ezra and Kanan. And so they released a trailer at New York Comic Con, and it looks like this season things are really going to pick up. And with Captain Rex from the Clone Wars is going to appear in there.
You see a lot of old people from that movie.
It looks like more lightsaber users in the show. And
younglings.
And there's been some talks about that somehow Rebels ties in with The Force Awakens, and I'm starting to wonder if it has to do with the saber users or how it ties in, because I don't think it's any character tie-in directly. I'm thinking maybe it's ideas and themes that somehow it ties in. You know,
could possibly be it.
And we just watched the trailer right before we recorded the show. Anything from the trailer that stood out for you for Star Wars Rebels?
Seeing Ahsoka Tano wielding dual lightsabers.
And interesting, they're white lightsabers. Yeah. Kind of a different color of lightsabers we haven't seen before.
Well, in episode 4, wasn't the lightsaber white first in the original?
Because of the coloring came out wrong back in the film, but it was supposed to always have been blue. It was never intentionally meant to be white. Technology issues back then.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Just... Don't be mad, bro.
Hey, man, don't diss Obi-Wan's lightsaber, because his was old and white.
It was your father's lightsaber. He killed 20 younglings with it.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that? Like, if George realized that he was going to have Anakin do that, when Obi-Wan had a lightsaber here, it was your father's lightsaber. He killed a bunch of kids with it, man. Yeah. He's an asshole. But I'm really looking forward to Star Wars Rebels Season 2. Maybe more than some of these live-action TV shows. Just because it's Star Wars, I enjoyed the hell out of the first season.
And you get to, you know, you always look for answers, what happened in between these episodes, you know, especially between 3 and 4, which, you know, we've been getting. So, you know, it's exciting to get these little filling pieces in through the TV episodes, even if it's animated. Because, man, I think it'd be hard to do it like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that's got to be what's coming next, huh? You think?
For what?
For Star Wars. I mean, that's what's next.
Oh, yeah, definitely, probably so. I mean, there's been some talks about live-action Star Wars TV shows over the years.
I can see it based more like on like bounty hunters and scoundrels and stuff like that type characters.
Mandalorians.
Or even loosely, kind of like Rebels, in a sense.
They're supposed to get
it. Might not have direct tie-ins to Jedis and, you know, and all that, but other areas, you know. I'd almost kind of like to see it done, in a sense, kind of like a Firefly.
Well, Michael B. Jordan's looking to be cast as Boba Fett.
Boy, that's just a rumor that popped up, though, so yeah. I don't know. Cast rumors pop up every week. There's somebody different who's going to be in the new Star Wars films. True. You know? So anything other than The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, which we're saving for our next episode, that's the big ones for the fall TV season, I think.
I think so.
You know, I know Legends of Tomorrow is not going to hit till January. A lot of people have been asking, when's that going to hit? And CW is actually saving that for a mid-season show. It's going to come on in January, and it'll tie in, obviously, with the Arrow and the Flash. I think it's going to air on Thursday night, so it's going to be Flash Tuesday, Arrow Wednesday, Legends of Tomorrow on Thursday on the CW. And that'll be coming, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to that with the Atom and White Canary, and apparently Vandal Savage is going to appear in the show. So that'd be some really cool characters. Savage
and Black Adam.
Yeah. So the fall television schedule for comic book related shows, that looks like what's coming. And one show I want to talk about really quick that is somewhat related to our genre, we haven't covered on Trust Me, I'm a Jedi.com, but does it Into the Badlands on AMC just look badass?
Oh, hell yeah. And how does that not fit into...
Well, it does kind of fit in with our show. I hadn't covered it on the site yet.
It's like,
to me,
from what I'm catching, it's steampunk, ninja, samurais, martial arts, like kind of martial arts you see in like cool Asian films. I mean, straight out of Hong Kong.
Lots of swords.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it looks like there's cars and motorcycles in it, so it looks modern but yet old. I'm wondering, I tried actually looking up what it's about, where it takes place. And they're being kind of secretive of it on AMC. And it's going to air on AMC on Sunday nights in November. I'm wondering, because Walking Dead won't be over yet with its first half of its season. So I wonder if it's going to air before The Walking Dead or after The Talking Dead. That seems like it'd be awfully late at night to air that late.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with before.
I'm thinking it's going to come on at 7 before The Walking Dead.
But it looks pretty action-packed violence.
And it's from the choreographer of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So you know it's going to have great action choreography in it. And Into the Badlands is going to be my pick for our surprise show of the fall. And I will, you know what, I'm going to find the trailers on YouTube, and I'm going to put them up on TrustMeJedi.com this week for people I don't know about Into the Badlands, so you can check it out. So that's what we got for television this fall. And there's some movies coming out, obviously. There's a certain big one in December. But, you know, I think we're a little close. I think the first big one we're close to right now is Spectre, the highly anticipated follow-up to Skyfall. Most people are... Even if you're not Bond fans, most people really like Skyfall. I haven't met anyone who didn't like Skyfall. They all kind of agree it's not just a Bond film. It's a great movie, too. And so we're going to follow that up. And if you've been watching the reboots of James Bond since Daniel Craig took over, there's always been an underlying organization that's been causing all this trouble for Bond. And back in the Sean Connery days, when he played Bond, there was an organization called Spectre, but we knew it from the beginning. That Spectre did all these bad things around the globe, and Sean Connery would save the world as James Bond. And Matt, I can tell you want to do your Sean Connery voice.
Yeah, Sean Connery.
That wasn't a good one. But
that's not feeling it right now.
Shingle Shay.
No, it's deeper. Here we go.
Yes, Sean Connery. I'm Scottish. Shingle Shay.
Yeah, I've done it better, but that's all I've got.
So Daniel Craig, they're bringing Spectre into the reboot, and Christoph Waltz looks like he's playing the bad guy who leads the organization of Spectre. And there's been some talk that he plays Blofeld. I think it was
Blofeld.
Yeah, and the bad guy from the original films with the bald head that Dr. Evil was based on. And just the chilly line he delivers in the trailer, like, where I'm the instrument of all your pain. Yes. Christoph Waltz just delivers it so well. And he says he's been there this whole time, so it could go back to he killed Vespa in Casino Royale, that he's behind everything that's been happening to Bond since they rebooted the films in 2005. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm a big Bond film fan. I'm fixing to appear on our sister show, The Warp Cave. Me and Long are going to do a show about Bond here in a couple weeks. And so I'm a big fan of that.
You know what I think would be great? The twist. At the end, he reveals that he was once Agent 007.
Dude. Yes, that he's
and turned on the agency.
Could be.
And started the whole anti-agent.
Was Spectre destroyed in Goldfinger?
They did destroy it at one point in one of the movies.
I want to say it was Goldfinger.
It could be. I'd have to go back and watch them. It's been a while.
Because that was whenever...
I think he thought it was destroyed in Goldfinger, and then okay. I think they brought Spectre back later on.
That could be.
Because I remember, like, Spectre was in The Spy Who Loved Me or something like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
When they had Roger Moore in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one for me this fall. And then the same day in theaters is the Peanuts movie.
The Peanuts movie.
And I don't know. I want to see it. It's Charlie Brown. It looks entertaining.
It does look entertaining.
I mean, how can you not like Snoopy unless you're, like, just a negative person?
It's true. You
know? Hey, I'm not a negative person.
Or Woodstock.
Yeah. You know, it's the Peanuts movie. And then also in November is the final Hunger Games film. You know, I know some people look at these movies as teenage flicks, things like that, but they've been a pretty entertaining series of films. I haven't watched Mockingjay Part 1 yet, even though I've had it sitting on the DVD case over there for like 6 months. I haven't sat down and watched it.
It's actually pretty good.
And so we're finally in this saga, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. And Katniss Everdeen saving the world.
Katniss Everdeen. And I really like... Woody Harrelson in that movie. I think his character is awesome. He's just a badass.
He's going to play the bad guy in War of the Planet of the Apes.
Really?
He's going to play the human villain in the next Apes film. Yeah. Well, he was circling the project. Looked like he was going to sign on.
He's just emerging as an awesome, like, action star.
Well, he's always been around. Then he had his issues for years there where he didn't do a lot of films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was smoking dope or whatever he was doing. He's probably still smoking dope. Woody Harrelson. And so Hunger Games, and then after that, we go into December. And other than Pixar's The Good Dinosaur, which will be a big film, obviously Star Wars Force Awakens is the big one. And this is a good time to talk a little bit about Star Wars. And we mentioned this on the last show that starting first week of November, we are going to be doing a series of shows called The Road to the Force Awakens. We're going to be tying in with the Warp Cave and Evil Dr. Tran over there. And doing a series of shows leading to Star Wars. So we're going to talk about Force Awakens much today, because we're going to be talking a lot of Star Wars on the show next few weeks. And, you know, it's kind of a slow fall for movies, because the only other movie that's fall during Force Awakens I'm looking forward to is The Hateful Eight, which is, of course, Quentin Tarantino's new film. He's doing another Western, or a Southern, as he likes to call them. And it looks like a really interesting... It's got Kurt Russell in it. That alone wants me to go see it.
I mean, love Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I mean, heck, you not love Snake Plissken.
I hate Kurt Russell.
You know,
Jack fucking Burton.
Tango.
It's all in the reflexes.
I'm just kidding.
Kurt Russell in a Quentin Tarantino film. Yes, he did Death Proof with him, but Death Proof was like a half a film because it was Grindhouse. Kurt Russell in a full-on Quentin Tarantino film is get your creative bubble blown. But you know,
what about that amazing film of his Overboard that he did?
Hey, every actor makes some bad films. You know. You know, Ben Affleck, Phantom, this is a bomb, yo. He made Reindeer Games, yeah. I mean, and now he's Batman. So, you never know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Matt likes Adam Sandler films. What does that tell you? He's made a lot of bad movies.
But it's not about bad. What's this thing about, like, actors, like, doing good movies, then they win an Oscar, then they just go on the streak of doing crap movies?
Well,
like, they don't follow up. Most of them don't follow up their Oscar win with another nomination for Tom Hanks. That's about it. Tom Hanks is like the only person I can think of that truly follows up an Oscar nomination with another Oscar nomination.
We're just talking about Christoph Waltz. He's been on a pretty good string of good films.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, but it's like how often does that happen?
About Tom Cruise.
And it seems like Meryl Streep is nominated every year for an Oscar.
Oh, yeah, Meryl Streep.
It's like she just shows up on set and she gets nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, I think she's just grandmothered in as an automatic nominee. Yeah. It's like she's like she just walks across. She just makes like a cameo walk across, and she's automatically nominated for best actress for that movie.
She just sits in a rocking chair the whole movie and rocks, and she gets nominated.
Yeah,
best supporting actress.
No, she's best supporting. She's automatically star. Period.
And we have our own award. We'll talk about Oscars. This doesn't really tie in what we're talking about. It's kind of a fall preview because we do our own Jedi Awards the website. And this year, we're going to unveil these on the podcast before I put them on the website this year.
It's Pixels.
And we're going to unveil our awards around the end of the year, around Christmas time we usually do it. And we're going to do a full show, re-unveil our awards, and then put it up the same day we put it on the website.
That's right.
So that'll be kind of fun to do it. We were going to do that last year, remember? I moved everything. I'd have internet for like 3 weeks, so we weren't able to do the unveiling of the awards on the show, but this year that's definitely happening, and that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So anything else in the fall you are looking forward to before we move on to whatever Halloween? We're talking about next?
Halloween is in the fall. Well, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're going to do a Halloween episode next week.
Yes, but what are you actually going to do for Halloween?
I'm going to take out Jake. Jake's going to be a war machine, and I'm going to be Captain Americana.
And you? What are you doing?
Don't know. Taking the kids out, probably.
Yeah. You going to dress up with them?
Nope, I'm Dad. That's what I dress up as.
Oh, so basically another useless costume out there? No, I'm just kidding.
Better than wearing a kilt and letting your schwangus hang out.
Nah, there ain't nothing beating hanging in my schwangus.
Schwangus. Oh, man.
So that's what's coming this fall, and we'll be talking about these movies and stuff and more television shows as it hits, any big surprises, and that's listen to the Rebel Radio podcast and future episodes for that. Coming up next on the Rebel Radio, stay tuned.
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure! We've come too far! There's too much to lose! We've got to keep our composure!
Hey, Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
So we just did our fall preview here on the Rebel Radio podcast, and the news has been a little slow lately. It's that fall time of the year. There's not a whole lot of news coming out. Everybody's getting ready for the Christmas movies. Here in the next few weeks, we'll start getting trailers for the spring films, X-Men Apocalypse, and some other, and probably Captain America Civil War. I imagine we'll get a trailer soon.
Hopefully.
So it's a little slow right now. But one thing was George Miller was talking this week. And George Miller, of course, director of the Mad Max films, and one of our favorite films so far this year, Mad Max Fury Road, which we talked earlier about our fall preview of our upcoming Jedi Awards that we do at the end of the year. I'm betting Mad Max will get some love in those for sure.
Definitely.
And he announced that they are talking to Warner Brothers, and they are going to do two more sequels or other stories, because Miller doesn't always like to call the Mad Max film sequels. Sometimes there are other stories in that universe. And that they had actually originally had written two scripts for Fury Road. And I remember reading this rumor a while back that one of the scripts was called Furioso, which would have been about Charlize Theron's character, and one was called Fury Road. And apparently there's even another script going out there, because they have scripts for two more films. And I'm good with this. What do you think? More Mad Max?
I say you build on it. I mean, that was one of the best action movies I've ever seen.
And George Miller said it won't take 7 years again to make the film. Because, they started making Fury Road, started building sets and cars back in, 2007. And then they didn't. And Miller financed some of the film himself. They didn't have the money. The Warner Brothers put in some money. And, then they filmed it in 2000, I think it was 13, most of that was filmed, and then it took till 15 to finally get released, because they were working on the editing and all that and putting the budget together. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting kind of old school way of filmmaking George Miller did with Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, a lot of practical effects.
Yeah, a lot of practical effects, years of work to build sets and things, and to put it all together into what was just a fantastic film. And I've watched it a couple times on Blu-ray since it came out, and it's still holding up really well. and it's still one of my favorite things I've seen this year. And Frank, I know you and me are a little older than Matt, and we grew up watching Mad Max, and I don't think you'll have any problem if George Miller wants to do two more Mad Max films.
Oh no, man, like, I was skeptical about this movie, but it was so good. Like, I walked out of the theater and I was like, I texted you guys, I was like, you gotta see this movie, it's awesome. You know, that's how good it was, and if they can keep with that and not lose any focus on, you know, that kind of quality of how they put that together, I'm definitely down for some more movies.
I think the only thing I would like to see in another one, if they do it, is a little more Tom Hardy as Mad Max. It seemed, that's one thing I've noticed when I rewatched Fury Road, it definitely focuses more on Furiosa. And I'd like to see a little bit more of him, and I'd like to see Tom channel a little bit of that dark humor that Mel had, you know? In the original films. He's like this road warrior type, but he also kind of had this sly, you know what I'm talking about, this slyness to him.
He was smooth, like whenever he convinced them to go back the other way.
Yeah.
It's like he seemed like pretty smooth.
That moment he did it, and I'd like to see a little more of that, because I think Tom is such a great actor, and I would like to see a little bit more of him in the sequels than we got in Fury Road.
Yeah, I would too, but also kind of like that, even though he's the main character, he's also kind of technically the supporting character to, like, a stronger figure in the movie.
Furiosa?
Yeah. You know, and that's what I kind of like. It's kind of like, I don't want to get way off to a bad movie or anything like that, but kind of like the Conan movie in Red Sonja. Conan was the main character as far as the title track, but Red Sonja was the overall character. And I kind of like that, like, the strong male character that the title's about is kind of like just a supporting character, and it leads to other stories. Because you can only carry on with one character for so long as a main character.
But I have no problem bringing back Charlize Theron as Furiosa. She was an awesome character. It's good to see. She might be one of the strongest female action characters we've had in years.
Maybe, yes, I think that's why, maybe also since, why it made it so good.
Maybe since Ripley in Aliens. Oh, it's been a long time to have a character like hers.
And I like the fact that she only had one arm. That was kind of a twist that they would do that to a character.
Strapped into it. You know,
And then obviously you're going to do more Mad Max, just more weirdness. More radiated war boys. And, breastfed milk women and just all the crazy stuff they have.
It's post-apocalypse, so you could take everything that we're accustomed to nowadays and just, like, completely throw all that out the window and then just drag it back in through the window, but totally different.
And I'm a big fan of Mad Max. I've always been. Thunderdome
Master Blast
has its moments. Like, I love the first hour of Thunderdome. Once he goes with the kids, it's kind of, I don't like it as much.
Yeah, it kind of slows down.
Yeah, it slows down the movie too much. And we know Frank's a big fan of Tina Turner. He loves singing. That's his favorite shower song. You know, he needs another hero. You know, but don't think of Frank in the shower. Sorry, I did that to our listeners. That's kind of scary. We already had a bit of kilt today. We don't need Frank in the shower too. And I think it'd be great too if they could convince Mel to do a cameo. And apparently they did at times ask him to do a cameo, but Mel was going through his troubles and stuff with his career, and I don't think it ever worked out to film a cameo for Fury Road. And I'd be cool just to have Mel appear as like some old guy or whatever, maybe gives Max some weird advice or something.
Or just have him as the bad guy.
You know? And I just, like I said, I
totally
hope we
flip the script.
I hope we don't have to wait 20 years for another Mad Max, but I don't think we will. It looks like Warner Brothers is going to work pretty quickly, and George Miller has said he wants to do a smaller film between. You know, a lot of actors, directors are doing that now. You know, like Christopher Nolan likes to do a smaller film. He did a couple of films in between the Batman films.
That's right.
And directors like to do that. They don't want to stay with the same characters because it helps keep things fresh, and they can get
more
new
variety,
creative juices going for the next Mad Max
juices.
You know, I mean, maybe he'll make another Babe movie. You know, probably will forget George Miller made Babe, Pig in the City. He also made Happy Feet. He's a very versatile director. Mm-hmm. And there's been some rumors around that he was talking to DC about doing one of these DC Universe films, but Miller has came out and said I had discussions, but I'm not going to do anything. More than likely, he was just at the Warner Brothers offices talking about the Mad Max sequels than he was the DC films.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think a DC film kind of done gritty like Mad Max would actually probably work out good.
Well, there's some characters I think George Miller can make a great Green Lantern film. If he can make a Road Warrior opera type film, because in some ways with the music in Mad Max Fury Road and the guitar playing guy, it was kind of like an action opera. Could you see Miller doing a space opera like Green Lantern? I think he could do a really good job. You know, he'd be a great director for like the Green Lantern course film.
Only if Ryan Reynolds gets to play him.
Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool now.
That's okay? True.
Remember, so
yeah. But you know what? When you do like the Green Lantern, you focus so much on the human Green Lantern. I would like something done like totally out of
that's
the
why they're doing a Green Lantern. Well, that's why they're doing Green Lantern Corps. They're called. They made the announcement's gonna be Green Lantern Corps. Oh, okay. So we're gonna have other characters. You know, because like you know, there's a freaking raccoon who's a squirrel who's a Green Lantern. I want to see a squirrel fight things. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what would make it exciting. Just base a film off of a non-human character.
Yeah, and the squirrel could protect his nuts.
Yeah.
So George Miller's going to do two more Mad Max sequels, and we also had our fall preview on today's episode. Looking forward to the Spectre and Force Awakens coming to theaters, and The Flash and Walking Dead returning. In our next episode of the show, we're going to talk a lot of Walking Dead. We're going to talk our favorite Halloween movies. We're going to do a Halloween episode. And also, in the next couple weeks, look forward to Volume 2 of the Rebel Radio Classics. And it's our Dago Nick episode. You want to know who Dago Nick is? Find out when you listen to Rebel Radio Classics Volume 2 on the next episode of that podcast limited series. So that'll be Volume 2 of the Rebel Radio Classics soon. And Mikey, you want to say something about Green Lantern?
Even there's a wolf in my comic, and he's so crazy.
There's a wolf Green Lantern?
Yeah.
In one of your comics?
And he's hairy.
Maybe they'll put that in the Green Lantern movie, huh?
Yeah, and I saw Steven Rogers.
That's the Captain America.
I know, but he has black hair in the comics.
Okay.
He's a Green Lantern.
Thank you for that information. We can't top that to end the show. It's hard to top Mikey with his information. So go to TrustMeAjaya.com for all the latest, all the new episodes. Look for Rebel Radio Classics Volume 2. And look forward to our Halloween episode in a couple of weeks. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+.
Get your dog spayed and neutered.
We're all over the universe.
Yeah.
You know? This has been
Matt the Electric Biscuit.
Frank T. Monkey.
Your host, Mark. This has been the new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast.
And I'm Michael Batman.
Michael Batman. Next time, same bat channel.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from The Same, and you're listening to
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?